For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord your God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. What do we need to do? Well, now, with that in mind, go down just a few verses to chapter. He told him, I want you to go ahead and keep my commandments. I don't want you to add to my words. I don't want you to take away from my words. I want you to teach them. So teach them to your sons and teach them to the sons' sons. So what was it that they were supposed to teach? So let me give you just eight things real quickly, and I'll not tarry long. I'm just going to go right through these things, and I hope you'll write some of these things down. Look at verse number 15. Here's the first thing that he tells them. Look, if you want to have victory, don't show up. Don't just show up. Go ahead and strive to have that victory in this promised land. Verse number 15, it says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure in the likeness of male or female, in the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, lest thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, thou shouldest be driven to serve them, driven to worship them and to serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided into all nations under the heaven. You know what the Bible is saying here? The Bible is, God is warning His people. As you strive to have victory in your life, stay away from idols. Don't get involved in worshiping things. He says, don't be involved in idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is nothing more than putting something else before God. And putting your allegiance and putting your worship into things that are not the Lord. You know, there are people that will worship their cars, their trucks, their boats. They'll worship their vacations. They'll worship people. I was watching the news the other night, and they had a news clip on there about Justin Bieber. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about rock and roll stars that fall into trouble because of their own stupidity. And then whole crowds and masses gather around as he was being escorted away from the jail. And you hear these mindless girls screaming, oh, I love you. There is something wrong with all that. You see, the thing of it is, they have chosen to worship a young derelict over God. You say, that's kind of hard. It's the truth. You know, and the same thing happened with so many of these other rock and roll stars. You say, why does it happen? Because they don't love God. They don't put the Lord first in their life. And we need to beware of idolatry. There are people that will worship other individuals. It might be a basketball star. It might be a football team. You know, next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. You know where the child of God should be? In the house of God. Amen. We're going to have Sunday morning services. We're going to have Sunday night services. If you want to watch a football game, you go right ahead. But you know what? You ought to honor God first. Amen? And there are people that will go ahead and they put other things before God. The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 3, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's pretty clear. We're not to be involved in idolatry. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 21, John, the beloved, said this, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." In the New Testament, even New Testament Christians can be involved in idolatry, involved in worshiping other things other than God. By the way, how much time do you spend worshiping God? How much time are you involved in the Word of God? How much time are you involved in prayer? Listen, there are people that will worship their television set over God because it has priority in their lives before anything else. Some people will not miss a certain particular show on TV. They'll stay home from church just so they can watch this television program. That is idolatry, amen? And if you are worshiping that one-eyed monster sitting in your living room or wherever it's at, you need to go ahead and cast it out and get rid of the thing. Amen? So number one, he told the children of Israel, you beware of idolatry. If you want to have victory in your life, don't be like the other nations that worshiped and served false gods. Those are the ones that God chose to judge by the nation of Israel to cast them out. Listen, I wonder how long America has. America is filled with idolatry. I hope and pray that I never see our families and our children cast out or brought under bondage of a foreign nation. But I'm here to tell you, we are going that direction. And I believe the judgment of God is going to fall upon America because America is filled full of idolatry. Number two, look at chapter 7. Look at verse number 1 through 3. And all through, remember, the book of Deuteronomy is the second rendering, and he is repeating the law to the children of Israel. He's repeating the law. And he brings out these points. Listen, you need to be aware of these things. And that's what he's telling them. Chapter 7, verse number 1 through 3. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. You see, Israel by themselves were inferior. Israel by themselves are inferior. Christian, by yourself you are inferior. But with the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, there is nothing impossible. And we need to approach life that way. It says in verse 2, "When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." Why? Look at what it says in verse 4. "For they will turn thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." The second thing that he really warns the children of Israel about, number one, don't be involved in idolatry. And if we want to have victory in our life, we can't be involved in idolatry. Number two, we cannot be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Young people, listen to me. Matter of fact, to anybody, it doesn't make any difference. If you get married, you make sure, if you're a believer, you marry a believer of like faith and practice. Because if you don't, all you're going to do is have heartache and trouble. One person believes one thing, another person believes another thing, and one person is pulling this way, another person is pulling this way, and all of a sudden your relationship is going to become strained, and it will destroy your relationship. But I'm here to tell you, your relationship with God is more important than any earthly relationship. Amen? And so listen, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." May I remind you about several individuals? Let me remind you about Samson. And in the book of in the book of Judges, chapter 16 and verse number 4, he saw a woman, the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And I really don't need to reiterate the story. We know what happened to Samson because he went ahead and fell in love with someone that he should not have. You say, well, Sometimes you just can't help that, preacher. Sure you can. It's your choice. You will only go ahead and fall in love with people whom you associate with. You'll only marry those individuals who you fellowship and associate with. Now, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be friends with the lost world. We need to show them the love of Christ. But the Bible is very clear not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It destroyed the life of Samson. What about Solomon? In 1 Kings chapter number 11 and verse number 1 through 2, the Bible talks very clearly. Take your Bible and turn there if you would. We've got time. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 11. And I want you to notice what the Word of God has to say. You know, it's interesting that when Solomon was anointed to be king, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "What is it that you really want out of life?" And Solomon didn't ask for gold or riches or silver or anything like that. He said, "Lord," he says, "give me wisdom that I might rule thy people." And God did. One of the things that Solomon did not ask for was wisdom to rule his own life. Solomon was a great leader and Solomon was a great king, but he was a horrible father. He was not a good father. And by the way, if you gain the whole world and lose your own family, what good is it? Amen? And I think that each and every one of us ought to pray and ask God to give us wisdom to lead and guide our family in a godly way. And in 1 Kings chapter number 11 and verse number 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his heart, and his wives turned away his heart." Listen. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because the unbelievers will turn the believer's heart away from God. And I know people have entered into relationships saying, "You know what, I really believe I can help her. I really believe that I can help her. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to win them to the Lord. And they're going to go ahead and they're going to serve God with me." If that happens, that is the exception and not the rule. And if that has happened, thank God for His mercy and grace in your life. But God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, that goes even beyond just marital relationships. That goes with business in our daily lives. If you are in business, do yourself a favor. Don't join hand in hand in a business partnership with the lost world. It will bring you down. You say, "Well, I just think I can help." I'm telling you, it will bring you down. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Look at Revelation chapter number 18, if you would. The Apostle John is warning, by the word of the Lord, he's warning his people about the destruction of Babylon. And I want you to notice what God tells the people during the tribulation period. In verse number 4, in Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 4 and 5. It says, "And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." Why? It says, because her sins, verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Listen, the Bible says, come out. Come out of her, my people. And we need to go ahead, and if we're going to have victory in our lives, we need to come out from the world. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14 and following, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For righteousness hath unrighteousness. What concord hath Christ with Belial?" And so on and so forth. We are not to be unequally yoked together. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Look at point number 3. I want you to notice, not only are we to be aware of idolatry and we're to be not to be unequally yoked together with believers, but we are to beware. He told the children of Israel, beware of pride. What is pride? Pride is relying upon self-sufficiency and not God. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody's help, even God's. If that's the attitude of life, that individual is foolish. We need God in our life every day. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, look if you would please, in verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast builded goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks have multiplied and the silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And that thou may say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. He's saying in this passage of Scripture, don't be lifted up in pride. I brought you out of Egypt. I fed you in the wilderness. I gave you drink in the wilderness. I sustained you all of your journey. Don't you think that any of this is because of you. It's because of me and because of my power. You know what He's telling the children of Israel? He's saying, look, don't get lifted up with pride. The only reason why you're in the promised land or are going to be entering into the promised land is because I brought you to this place. And as a child of God, we should never get lifted up and say, hey, look where I came from and look at the great journey that I have made. Listen, you're only here by the grace of God. Amen? Don't be lifted up with pride. Remember Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter number 14, 5 times He said, I will. I will be lifted. He says, I will ascend into the throne on high. I will be like the Most High God. And yet God said, I'll take you down to hell. Listen, don't be lifted up with pride. Remember Peter in Matthew 26? He said, Lord, I'll never deny Thee. He says, I'll never forsake Thee. I'll go and die for You, Lord. Verse 34 of Matthew 26. And Jesus looked at him and He said in verse number 35, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me, Peter. Peter was lifted up with pride, and we know the story and how hurtful that was and how he even cursed God. Began to curse and says, I don't know the man. Beware of pride. We're going to have victory in our life. Listen, in our journey, don't get lifted up and get haughty about ourselves and say, hey, look at how great I am. We're destined for destruction if we do that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 18. You with me? Say amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Look at verse number 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. For there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Look at verse number 12 again. All that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Do you think that we ought to promote such things? As a child of God, well, listen, we're living in this 21st century where many of these things are glamorized and promoted in our media. They're exalted. And if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you're belittled for it because you speak out against these things. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto the observers of times and to diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so to do. See, what's it saying? We're to be separate. We are to be separate. And if we want victory in our life, we need to be separate. We're not to be unequally yoked together, as I said. We're not to be lifted up with pride, but we are also to be separate. I like what Brother Don said in Sunday school in 1 Peter chapter number 1, where it says, as it is written, be holy for I am holy. And Brother Don said that we ought to go ahead and be what God has proclaimed us we are. Amen? God has proclaimed us to, as a child of God, we are holy. Now let's live our part. And God says if you want to have victory in your life, you make sure that you are separate from the world. Be holy. Look over at 1 John chapter number 2 and look at verse number 15. And I want you to see the reason why we should live a holy and a separate life unto God. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 15 and following. A very familiar passage of Scripture, but there's one phrase in there I want you to pay attention to in 1 John chapter number 2. Look at verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Now look at verse number 17. And the world passeth away. I want you to repeat that with me if you would. And the world passeth away. You know, all those things that we want, and all of those things that we strive for, you remember, they're going to pass away. Amen? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, the reason why that we ought to be separate is because the world passes away. All of the things that the world is glamorizing, all the things that they're trying to convince you that you need to have in your life in order to have a good time, they're going to pass away, amen? They're not going to be there anymore. But those that do the will of God, we're going to abide forever. Why is it that so many people are convinced we cannot have a good time without a Bud Light or a Miller Low Life or whatever you want to drink, you know? Why is it that we think, oh, you got to have that in order to have a good time? I have not had an alcoholic beverage since I got saved back in 1978. And I have had a great time in my life. And one of the great things about it is, when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to wake up with regrets thinking, oh no, what did I do last night? Amen? Listen, as a child of God, you can have a wonderful time without any regrets, without any sorrow, without any heartache. Be separate. Someone once said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Look at chapter number 19. Look at verse number 14 in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 19, verse number 14. I want you to notice the next thing that he tells the children of Israel to beware of as they enter into the promised land. He tells them, beware of idolatry and beware of unequal yokes. Beware of pride. And he says, make sure that you stay separate. Live a holy life. Live unto me. And then he says in verse number 19, chapter number 19, verse number 14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now the landmarks were used as basically surveillance or survey pins. You buy a piece of property today, and a lot of times the surveyors will come out and they'll put a pin in the ground, they'll drive it in the ground, and they'll mark it with a yellow cap or an orange flag, and they'll say, from this metal pin to such and such distance, this is your property. And they'll map it all out with all the different things. If you ever read a legal description on a piece of property, it's kind of mind-boggling, and you almost have to have somebody that interprets it for you because it's hard to read. Well, these landmarks were the same way. They would say, you know, from this point to this point, this is the tribe of Dan. From this point to this point, this is the tribe of Asher. From this point to this point, this is so-and-so's piece of property. And they set up landmarks, markers. It might have been a large stone. It might have been something else. They said, don't you remove somebody's landmark. He was saying this to the children of Israel. You want to have victory in your life? You make sure that you're honest and upright. You make sure that you're honest and upright. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want to read this to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 25. Paul tells the New Testament believer, he says in chapter 4 and verse number 25 of the book of Ephesians, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. If we're not honest, and we're not honest with the words that we say or the actions that we have in our lives, you're going to give the devil opportunity to destroy your life. No one is a successful liar. No one can be a successful liar. Because one person, when they lie, they'll have to tell another lie in order to cover it up. And another person, they'll have to tell another lie in order to cover those lies up. And pretty soon it snowballs and you're telling so many lies to cover up one lie that pretty soon you're going to get tripped up. You know, the best thing to do is just tell everybody the truth all the time. And you never have to worry about covering your tracks. Amen? Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If we're going to go ahead and have victory in our life, we need to go ahead and be honest. Be honest with God. Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with others that are around us. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. I want you to notice the sixth thing. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Look at verse 3 and 4. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you, against your enemies, to save you. He tells them as they are getting ready to cross over and enter into battle to claim the promised land, he said, I want you to do this. Be courageous. Be courageous. A lot of times people will go ahead and they will trust God for salvation. And truly, I believe that they get saved. And it stops right there. Because they're fearful. They're fearful to live for God. They're fearful to take a stand because, oh no, what would people think? What would people do? Be courageous. And we need to go ahead and live a courageous, victorious Christian life. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4, he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In Hebrews 13:5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In John 6:37, he said he would never cast us out. In John 10:28, he said we would never perish. The Bible tells us very clearly, with men things are impossible, with God all things are possible. Christian, let's go forward for God and let's be courageous. Let's attempt great things for God. Let's expect great things from God. Amen? Number 7. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Literally, most of you folks are choir members. But notice what it says in verse number 1 and 2. And I believe that we're all on board with this. It says, and it shall be, when thou art come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein. And notice verse 2. That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and thou shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. Beside of that part where it says to place His name there, in the margin of my Bible, I wrote the church. And in today's economy, God has chosen to place His name on the local New Testament church. He said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, the church is the place that God has chosen to be the center or the focal point for Him to do His work here in this world. The church has got the marching orders of God, the Great Commission to go forth with the gospel, to tell the whole world about Christ. But He said, give the first fruits to God. What are the first fruits? Go back to Leviticus 27, and you'll find out what the first fruits are. Leviticus 27 and verse number 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether it be the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. If a man will redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, in other words, whatever is sold, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Listen, the Bible tells us in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3 and verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, maybe meet in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The Bible talks about the first fruits. In other words, we're supposed to give to God first, off the top. Now, I know a lot of times people struggle with all that. That's one of the reasons why I tithe off of my gross income and not off my net income. Because I'm giving God the first fruits. And some people say, well, you know, I don't believe that. Well, that's up to you. You can go ahead and you can do whatever you want to do. But I believe that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tithe off of my gross income and even give above and beyond my tithe. Because I want to give an offering to the Lord and I want to give to Him my first fruits. You want to go ahead and be blessed by God? Learn to give of the first fruits back to Him. So, well, preacher, I just couldn't afford it. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. Give to God. And then let me just close with this. Look at chapter number 30, 19 and 20. Verse number 19 and 20. I'd encourage you to take some time this afternoon. Listen, we're probably not going to be having evening services, so your assignment for tonight is read Deuteronomy chapter number 27 and 28. All right? The blessing and cursing chapters. I'm telling you, there's a lot there. And then determine, I want God's blessings on my life. Amen? Deuteronomy 27 and 28. But look at chapter number 30. And look at verse number 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose what? Life. The Lord says, I want you to have life. But if you're going to have life and life more abundantly, you need to go ahead and follow my directions. If you're going to have victory in your life, you need to follow my directions. And it says here in verse number 19, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, And thou mayest obey His voice, that thou mayest cleave unto Him. Notice this. For He is thy life and the length of thy days. God will have you here as long as He has a purpose for you. You want to live long? Make sure you keep fulfilling His purpose. And then whenever God says, you know what, it's time for you to go, you'll be happy and say, you know what, I finished my course. God's got something better waiting for me in heaven. Amen? It says, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. It says there in verse number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. What are we to do? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. I believe that as we strive for victory in our life, let's be loving. Let's be kind. Why is it that independent fundamental Baptists have this idea that if we're going to be right with God, we just need to tear everybody up? Why is it that we have this mindset, and I use that word we very loosely, that Bible-believing Christians are so bent on being right that we have to be mean-spirited in the process? We don't have to be. Matter of fact, we can be loving and kind and still try to promote that which is right and good and godly. Amen? Don't fall into that snare thinking that we've got to be mean-spirited. I think that when the Lord Jesus Christ, even in His rebuke, He did so with love. And the Bible says we need to speak the truth in love. You say, well, they might not like it. Yeah, but go ahead and speak it in love. Striving together. We need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Strive together for the faith of the gospel. Remember, we're not in this journey by ourselves. We are in this together. And we need to go forward together. Don't get left behind. Let's go forward for God. But in the process, let's not forget what God told the children of Israel. For if we do, we will be like one of the nations that God judged and ran out of the promised land so another people could inhabit it that would serve Him. God help us. God help our nation. That we would not follow the course of the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all of those other ones that chose not to follow God. If you study out their origins, they all had opportunity at one time. They chose to reject God. Let's choose to follow Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the piano player comes to play through a verse of invitation this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior today. If you know Christ, I hope and pray that you'll choose today to apply these 8 things to your life and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to go forward with God and I'm going to have victory in this new life that He's given me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the piano plays to a verse of invitation, we're not going to sing a verse this morning, but we are going to invite you to come and maybe gather around the altar. Maybe there's a special need in your life. Maybe you just need to come forward and say, Lord, help me to have victory in my Christian life. Or maybe, Lord, help me to apply these principles to my life. If the Lord has spoken to you, we invite you to come. Would you come?